So anyways, today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 19. We're going to talk about something that is, for most of us, difficult. How many of you struggle with authority? Nobody's raising their hand, but I guarantee I see smiles in the room because every one of us has struggled with authority, right? Whether it be your parental authority, whether it be your principal at school, okay? Some of the older folk will be like, oh yeah, I remember a time when I was in high school and I got in big trouble and they'll go on this huge story and I'm thinking about it. And I was like, well, I wonder what your kids are like. You know, if that's how you were, I mean, you can't really dog on your kids for them getting in trouble if you were just as guilty. And how many have ever been pulled over by police? Okay, maybe not so much here, but if you drive to Kansas, in small town Kansas, okay, guaranteed you're going to get pulled over without state plates. I'm speaking not from experience recently. If you have authority problems, let me tell you this. This is a little secret before we get to the true authority of God in Matthew chapter 19. If you have a problem with authority, you're going to have a problem having authority. If you have a problem with authority, you personally are going to have problems having authority. So we're going to talk about the true authority of God in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16 is where we're going to start. And it says in Matthew 19, 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let's pray and we'll get right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you guide us and direct us this morning. Give me the words to say as I preach, Lord. Let us have the ears to listen and let us learn about your true authority today. Let us learn all about authority. Let us understand it today, Lord, so that we can better glorify you and respect you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you again for your word. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the definition of authority is the power of or right to give orders, make decisions, and or enforce obedience. Okay, that's the definition. We struggle with the idea of authority with others over us. That's always been a struggle, even when you're a little child. It's hard for children to listen the first time. How many of you have that child that you could say four times, don't do this, and for some reason they still do? And like, well, I never heard you. No, they heard you. They just chose not to listen. My son's a first-class example of this. Okay, he's 4 years old. And I'll tell him four times, don't do something. And they'll go and do it. I'm like, why didn't you listen to me, son? And then I say, hey, if someone doesn't come in here and clean up these Legos, I'm throwing them away. First time he heard that, he's there. We have a problem obeying authority. And let me tell you, if you have a problem with authority, you have a problem with God. Because God is the creator of authority. Let me tell you, the authority comes with many precursors. It's like the power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, giving or leaving without permission, physical and mental power, the ability or strength with which one is endued to possess or exercise. These are all powers of authority, or the power to rule or government. Universal authority, power of judicial systems. These are all different manners of authority. But let me tell you, I'm going to give you three today definitions of authority, or three different categories of authority, and only one of them is the true authority, okay? So Strong's definition of authority is the privilege that is the force, capacity, or competency, freedom, or mastery, magistrate. These are all different things. To delegate influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, or strength. Only one being, let me start here because we're going to get there too, but only one being has true authority. With the three different types of authority we're going to talk about today, we'll get into that one last. But I want you to understand today that without God, you have no authority. I'll explain. So let's talk about that first authority, human authority, the one I just mentioned. Without God, you have no authority. And this is human authority we're talking about. In Matthew chapter 19 and 16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt commit no adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and my mother." And he goes on and continues on. He's telling him the laws he should follow with those Ten Commandments. But for humans, we struggle with authority because we have created what is called artificial authority. I move a lot, by the way. I walk around a lot. I have like undiagnosed ADD. I say I do. I don't know. But I do walk around a lot. I can't sit still. It just doesn't work for me. But talking about artificial authority is a copy of authority without the power of authority. It's not natural authority. It's similar to the idea of like artificial limbs, all right? It looks somewhat real, but it's not real. There's no feeling in the leg. There's no movement of the toes. There's no skin or flesh on the leg at all. It's just a mechanism to help stabilize the walk, but it is not real. And in no way, shape, or form can it be made real. It is a fake leg. It is also like our authority, which is a fake authority. It looks real. It sounds real. But when you get down to the bare bones of it, it's not real at all. See, humans struggle with the idea of authority because we don't have it, and we have limited to know a real authority in life. We pretend like we have authority over our children, but if our children choose not to listen to us, that's not real authority. That's the difference between us and God. When we tell someone to do something, they have a choice, okay? When God decides something, it doesn't matter what anybody chooses. That's it. God has true, powerful authority. We have artificial, where we think we have authority. We say we have authority. But if a slave decides, I'm going to just use an example because there's slaves in the Bible. But if their master tells them to do something and they decide not to do it, that's not real authority. Okay? They choose to listen. Just like our children choose to listen. As humans, we struggle with the idea of power. We want to be in control. Ask any political leader. They love the idea of having the power, the control. But in reality, they don't have real power. Don't believe me. Look what our governor just tried to do last month when she tried to ban guns and when she tried to make it illegal to have a concealed carry or to walk around with it's not the license to carry, but with the idea of just carrying. She tried to limit our Second Amendment, and it blew up in her face. See, governors don't have real authority. They have artificial authority. They think they can do whatever they want, but they can't. They can try and do whatever they want, but they can't. And let me tell you, this has been going on for centuries. It's not just here in New Mexico. It's not just here in the United States. Kings and queens have been trying to use their authority to get what they want for thousands of years. And sometimes it blew up in their face. Ironically, our governor just did this recently, but it's happened before. For example, in 1199, King John reneged on his commitments made from the Magna Carta. And this led to a civil war, which led to him being killed by a usurper. His commitments, he decided to take them back. Well, he's like, I'm king. I'm allowed to do that. It's my choice. Well, because he did that, people killed him. They decided, you know what? If you're not going to follow the laws that were made by the Magna Carta, which was to help the citizens, it was made to help them so they can't be forced into taxes and forced into power mongers' control. He decided that he didn't like that idea. And they're like, well, that's too bad. That's not real authority. This happened again in Edward II. He tried to do whatever he wanted, and he cheated on his wife. As a king, he cheated on his wife and said, "That's okay, I'm king." Well, then she had him killed. Real authority there. Then Richard II was bored with politics and he was only motivated by his own pleasure. And then because of his greed and because of his lack of commitment as king, the military said, you know what? We could have a better king coming from the baker's shop than you. And they killed him. The military that he was supposed to be the king over, they decided they didn't like him as king. These kings thought they had authority only to have it stripped away because they were bad at their job. That's not real authority. Okay? Parents pretend like we have authority all the time over our kids, but do they really listen? Sometimes, yes. My oldest is really good at listening. My youngest is terrible at listening. That's not real authority. Okay? We have fake authority. We have a false authority because no human can make another one do what they command. They have to choose. There was two gentlemen. They decided, Tesla, Nikola Tesla, decided to create this invention. And when he created it, it was the very first radio. Okay, it was a way to hone in on radio waves and make it capable to communicate with radio waves. 1893, he demonstrated a wireless radio in St. Louis, Missouri. Despite this demonstration, it was Guglielmo Marconi, who is often credited as the father and inventor of the radio. One of the reasons that he was given this title was because of a patent in England in the year 1896. He tried to take Nikola Tesla's idea, patented his own, changed it a little bit, and became renowned as the creator of the radio. And right after, a year later, Tesla filed his patents for his basic radio in the U.S., and they were granted in the 1900, so 4 years later. Now, Nikola Tesla did not know that this gentleman had done this. On December 12, 1901, Marconi's place in history was forever sealed because he was put in as the first person to invent the radio. Now, it was not true, and a patent battle between Tesla and Marconi went on for years. Marconi died in 1937. Tesla died in 1946. But 6 months after Tesla's death, the Supreme Court ruled that all of Marconi's radio patents were invalid, and the award for the patents of radio belonged to Tesla. So now he is known in most circles as the creator of the radio. See, Marconi thought he could pretend to be the inventor. He thought he could hide it and put it out there before anybody else, before Tesla could, and say that he did this, that he put all this work in, he created this radio, but the truth got out. He thought he had authority. He thought he had this idea. He thought he had gotten away with it. But let me tell you, fake authority is obvious. Fake authority or artificial authority, like I said, like an artificial limb, it can be obvious when you see someone walk with a limp or when you see them when their pants are cut off because they don't want their jeans to get caught in their knee and their device that holds the knee. They will show that they have a fake limb. And it's obvious. It was obvious when they saw the patents of Marconi that something wasn't right and it was messed up and it wasn't the correct device. So when they tried to recreate it, it was wrong. And when they tried to recreate it, it was wrong. They were like, hey, hold up. Tesla has the right patent. So let's scrap Marconi's and give it to Tesla because obviously he knew what he was doing. See, that's the difference between artificial authority and real authority. And so we'll get into number two. And this is God and Jesus' authority. There's a reason why I put them both in here. So in Romans 13:1, it says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be ordained are of God. Only God has real power and real authority. God's authority is eternal, it's powerful, and it's unfathomable. The opposite of the world's. See, the world's authority is limited. It's not eternal. It's a fake authority. But God's power is not only unfathomable and powerful, but it's eternal, lasts forever. The opposite of what the world has. He's the creator of authority. They could try and recreate their own, but they can't. This is beyond anything like creating life. Okay? This is beyond the word creation itself, because this is a power that can do many things, including create. Authority is not just as simple as the world thinks it is. We get this mindset that it's the idea of a power over someone. But truly, God's authority is the power over everything. When God created the world in Genesis chapter 1, and he said, and God said, that's authority. And then let the there be firmament in the midst of the waters. Let them divide the waters from the waters. And then number 7, it said, and God made the firmament. And number 9, it says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. And it was so. In verse number 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Somebody have ever looked at your backyard and said, my grass is barren or dry, and say, let there be grass, and grass grew. How great would that be? Like, the beginning of the summer, before summer really kicked in, my grass was looking great. I got this house where we have a little backyard, and there's a patch, like just a nice big patch of grass. And then we got that heat wave. Now it's all barren and dry. How great would it be just to go, let there be grass? That's authority. We don't have that ability, okay? We can't even do that with our kids, let alone our grass, okay? And God's saying, let the waters be divided, and it happened. That's authority. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly and the moving creature that hath life. And then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing. And God said, let us make a man in our image or after our likeness. And it was created, and it was good. Half the time when we create stuff, we have to hope that it's good. He says it, and it's good. He says it, and it's done. He says it, and it's created. That's real authority. Then that authority was passed on to Jesus. Matthew 28:18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. This authority was noticeable by the most established scribes and chief priests. When he spoke, they had no choice but to listen. They hated it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone telling you something and you have no opportunity or no choice to look away? You may not agree with what they're saying, but you have no chance in moving or changing or stopping them. That's what was going on with the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus had so much authority in his voice that they were in wonder as to how he could do this. That's how powerful God is. When he speaks, we have no choice but to listen. Don't believe me. Look at Jonah. Okay? Jonah tried to run. Jonah tried everything in his power to fail. Okay? It was not a hard choice. Jonah saw that God wanted him to go to Nineveh. He commanded him to go to Nineveh Jonah was a prophet of God. He was supposed to do the will of God. I know I move around. I'm sorry. He's supposed to do the job that God had commanded him to do, but he saw Nineveh and he hated it. Nineveh was a wicked, awful place. Nineveh was an enemy of the children of Israel. Nineveh was a problem, and Jonah didn't want to be any part of it. But when God spoke, he had no choice but to listen. Well, he still got on the ship. Yeah, what happened after he got on the ship? They threw him overboard because of the storms. They didn't want to die. And then what happened? God told a fish to swallow him. How many have ever gone fishing and wish you could tell the fish, hey, grab that hook? I mean, come on. You see a bunch of big fish out there and you throw it out right in the middle of them, and this little itty bitty fish comes in and grabs it. And you're like, no! God had authority. He made the biggest fish go out and grab Jonah. That's authority. Jonah had no choice but to listen. Why do you say that? Well, he sat in the belly of the whale's fish for 3 days until he listened. You ever have a kid sit in the corner? Jonah had no choice. He was stuck in the whale's belly for 3 days. And finally he gave up and he's like, all right, God, what do you want me to do? Well, now that you're listening, you're going to go to Nineveh. Can you imagine not wanting to go, being stuck in that sick belly for 3 days, the smell, the rot, the gross? Jonah wants to die. Never in the history of food has it taken 3 days to be processed. And Jonah's hoping to die. And God's saying, you're not going to die in that stomach. You might as well just give up and listen. He tries to fail. He tries to choose to fail. And God's like, I don't want you to fail. I want you to go to Nineveh. He goes to Nineveh. And as he goes to Nineveh, he goes and preaches this most elaborate message. No, actually, the message was like super short. It was like 1 minute long. If you don't change your hearts, God's going to destroy you in 40 days. Literally all he said. And Nineveh flipped. They changed their life for God. Their king was like, made a decree. Everyone must follow God, the true God. And Nineveh completely flipped. You see, Jonah's trying to fail. He's trying to choose to fail. And God's saying, you're missing the point. I have the authority to help you succeed. All you have to do is listen. But because Jonah didn't listen, he's forever known as the guy swallowed by the fish instead of the guy who helped save Nineveh. See, God had prepared success for Jonah to go to Nineveh, but because Jonah kicked and fought his way there, he got none of the reward, and he knew it. I'm sure as he's sitting in that whale's belly, he's like, you know what, man? God likes to write about the people of him. I'm sitting in his belly of this fish. I guarantee this is going to be in the Bible. Imagine Jonah just sitting there. He's like, oh man, Moses got to save the people from Egypt. Noah got to build an ark. I'm stuck in a fish. He got no reward for choosing to fail, even though when God prepared him to succeed. That's authority. You see, we may think we have authority, but God's trying to tell us, if you trust me and you listen to me, I'll show you real authority. If you trust me and listen to me, I'll show you success. I'll show you how to succeed. And Jesus is telling him, he's telling the scribes and the Pharisees, the reason why they couldn't turn away is because he's giving them the access to success. But they chose not to listen, at least afterwards. They heard what he said. They cannot deny they heard him because they were in awe and wonder over his words. But afterwards, they're like, no, we can't follow this. And they chose to fail. They chose to put him on the cross. They chose to go against God. In Matthew 7:29, as he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And in Matthew 21:23, it says, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou do these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I and the likewise will tell you, by what authority I do these things. And he goes down a couple of verses and he says, and they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things, because you're not willing to listen. He's telling him, I'll tell you if you're just willing to open your ears to what I'm saying. But they couldn't. They struggled with this. And he's like, I could prepare you for success. I could give you what you need because I have the authority. But if you don't listen to me, if you have a hard time listening to authority, you're going to struggle with it. See, our world has a hard time listening to authority. It has a hard time trusting authority because it doesn't want to believe in God. It doesn't want to believe that sin is real. It doesn't want to believe that heaven and hell are real. It wants to do its own things. It wants to trust its own process. But let me tell you, its process is flawed. Don't believe me. Look at our governments. Don't believe me. Look at our world. The process is flawed. But they're too busy looking at their fake authority. They're too busy thinking about the power that they wield, even though it is none. In Luke chapter 4, verse 36, it says, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. Even the devils, the demons, listened because he had authority. What manner of man is this? The Son of God. You see, we're too busy looking at our lives and thinking, well, I have to do this for my job, and I have to listen to this, and I have to go to this. You give more authority to the podcasts or radio stations than you do to God in your own life. Think about that. You give more authority to entertainment than you do to God in your own life. Don't believe me. Look at your phone. If you have an iPhone, it will tell you how much time you've spent watching YouTube or watching Netflix or playing games on just your phone. That phone has an authority in your life. It's a fake authority. You could choose to put it down, but you've let it have power over you. When was the last time we gave God such authority in our life? When was the last time we gave God such attention in our life? Jesus is telling the scribes, just give me your attention and I'll give you success. Give me your attention and I'll show you true authority. Give me your attention and I'll show you what it's like to live with hope and joy for eternity. But we're too busy giving others and other things authority in our life, even though it's fake. We choose it. We've chosen it. We've chosen to give our work authority in our life. Well, Brother Garber, I have to work to eat. Yeah, but you don't have to work on church day. You choose to. How do I know? I worked in secular places. I worked at Famous Footwear for 2 years as a manager. I chose not to work on Sunday. Well, Brother Garber, they don't give me that choice. You know why they gave me that choice? Because I came into the meeting with my manager and I said, before I even got the job, I said, listen, I can't work Sundays. I'm an assistant pastor and a youth pastor. I don't have time to work on Sundays. She's like, well, I'm technically not allowed to hire people who don't work on Sundays. I'm like, well, I'll tell you what. This is what we'll do. If you hire me, I'll work every Saturday. You get every Saturday off. It was like, ding, 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 we have a winner. She realized the good that can come from this. And she said, you know what? I like my Saturdays. I'll take that deal. And I got Sundays off. So every time Sunday would come around and my coworkers would be like, hey, you work Sunday? I was like, no, I don't work on any Sunday. Well, why? Because I work every Saturday. And they shut up because nobody else wanted to work on Saturday. I worked from morning to night every Saturday just so I didn't have to work on Sunday. You can do it. You just have to tell your boss, I can't work Sunday. Well, what if they fire me? Then get a better job. I'm just saying, you could allow your job to have authority in your life to control you, or you can give God the authority and give him the preeminence. Let me tell you, God will bless those who are willing to give him the authority or give him the authority in their lives. He will bless those who are willing to listen to him. Well, how do you know that? Well, look at Jonah. Until Jonah listened, it was a failure. It really was. You can't look at the life of Jonah and say he was built for success. He was in the fish's belly. But when he got out of there, and God said, good, now that you're listening, let me show you success. In Jonah's lifetime, before this moment, he could never have said, I changed a country to the power of God. I converted a country to God. Never in Jonah's lifetime could he say, I was a witness to thousands or millions. He couldn't do that. And when God's like, I need you to change Nineveh, and he's like, I don't want to change Nineveh. That's impossible. Have you seen my track record? He said, it's not about you. Let me have authority. Let me show you what I can do. Jonah comes out and says like a few words, literally a few words if you look it up. If you don't change to God, he'll destroy you in 40 days. And it was instant. The king heard it. That's it. I'm putting a decree. It's over. Think about that. Think about Jonah's life up to that point. And then afterwards, how many people changed for God and he doesn't get any credit for it because he wasn't given God an authority in his life. You see, God wants to bless you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. But he's not going to do it until you give him authority in your life. If you let him have the authority in your life, he'll show you success. And finally, our third point is our own authority. You see, it's fake authority until God has authority in our life. Then because he has authority, he's the creator of authority, he gives us authority. Wait, what? The power of authority. He gave it to the disciples. Beyond our comprehension, he gave the disciples authority that we can't even imagine. But he's also given us authority, a different authority. Luke chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves or scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter, there abide and there depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. You see, he goes to them, he said, you know what? I want you to go out. I'm going to give you authority, real power. Your job is to heal the sick and to cure those with devils. But that's just the beginning. I want you to preach my word into every. And those who accept you, be accepted and depart when it's time. But those who don't accept you, just shake off the dust from your feet, don't worry about it, and go to the next place. Why is he doing this? Because he wants the world to know. He wants them to understand who the power and who the authority is. See, the Jews, they thought they had authority until the Romans came in. The Romans, they thought they had authority. And then Jesus came. See, Jesus threw it all on their head. They flipped them upside down, and they didn't understand what was going on when Jesus came. Because Jesus came in the body of a man with the power of God, and he had true authority. He did things that no one had ever seen before. He had authority over devils. He had authority over man. He had authority over the earth and the waters. See, never in the Bible do you see a man walking on water until Jesus came. Never in the Bible do you see a man calm the storm by saying, be still. Jesus had true authority. And so when he comes to the disciples, he said, I will give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions in Luke chapter 10. And over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And in Matthew 28, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. See, God has given them authority, and he's telling us to tell the world about him. That's the authority he gives us. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have chosen salvation. We have chosen to accept Jesus as our Savior. And because of that, we have the opportunity, the ability to go to heaven. Without Jesus, we don't go to heaven. Okay, that's it. Cut and dry. You either pick Jesus and pick heaven or you don't and go to hell. He made it so easy. Only he has the power to do that. Me and you can't say, you know what, I think I'm going to go on the stairway to heaven today. We don't have that power. We don't have that authority. And Jesus said, all you have to do is believe in me. All you have to do is believe that I am the Son of God. Ask him into your heart. Ask me into your heart. And you'll have a salvation. He said, that's all you have to do. John 14:6, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. That's power. That's authority. You want power and authority, you have to have Jesus in your heart. So then after that, you have to tell others. He's given you the authority and the ability to share the gospel. That's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting power. Well, I don't see that as a power, Brother Garber. All we're saying is telling the world that Jesus Christ has the ability to save. I'm sorry. Can you make anybody go to heaven? Can I say, you know what? I like you. You're going to go to heaven. Can you do that? No. You do not have that power or authority. But you know what you can do? You can say, let me show you in God's word in Romans where it says, for all men have sinned and come short the glory of God. Let me show you where it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is power in the word of God. That is authority in the word of God. He's saying that we are to show others how to get to heaven. That's authority. That's a power. He wants us to understand that heaven is real, that it is the greatest place ever created, and we can go there. We can get the opportunity to go there, but also we can share that with others. That's the power he's given us. See, God's given us his word. He's given us a voice to tell others about him through our testimony. That's a power and authority of God. The testimony is such a huge part of our walk with God. The ability to show others through our walk that God is real, through our life that God is real. That's a power. That's an authority that's unlike any others. Let me tell you, you go on Central in Albuquerque, you'll see the authority of drugs in someone's life. I guarantee it. Don't go down Copper Street, but you go down Copper Street and you'll see the power of drugs in people's lives. Go down to Lomas, you'll see the casino. You'll see the power of money in people's lives. You know what's the funny thing is? I don't see those people smiling. I don't see them in the right frame of mind most of the time. That's the power of the world. It's a falsehood. It's a false power. But he says, when I show you the gospels, when you have the gospels to give to others and you share with them the ability, the power to get to heaven, that's real joy. It's real joy to know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. It's real joy to know that I'll get to see my older brother when I go to heaven when I die because I know he was saved when he died. See, that's a joy. When my grandfather died, the same week my grandfather died, a young man in our church, a 16-year-old young man, went to Manzano High School, committed suicide. And I had to go to his funeral before I went to my grandfather's funeral. I got to preach at my grandfather's funeral. And I knew my grandfather was saved, and I told them about the young man. His name was Jalen. And I said, at his funeral, it was a time of mourning. But at my grandfather's funeral, it was a time of praise. That's the power of authority. It's the true power of God. Death does not have to keep. See, that's the thing. God has power over death. He gives us the ability to share that power, to share the gospel with others. I got a story, and we're going to close here in a minute. There's a pastor. His name is Dwayne Miller. It's a true story. You can look up on YouTube. You can find the audio of the event that occurred. This is a legit event that happened to a man who was a retired pastor. He loved preaching and teaching the gospels, and he loved it so much that one day when an accident happened, he had to have surgery on his vocal cords and lost 90% of his ability to talk. It crushed him. He had to retire from pastoring and teaching. And he was not able to talk. And so if you ever heard him talk, you can hear it in the audio message if you look it up. He sounds like someone's taking a scrub brush and shoving it down your throat when you're trying to talk. It's so raspy and so hard to understand. In fact, I had a video that we played. I wanted the church to see the video. This story, and my sound producer lady, Miss Dolly, she's like, I did not like she listened to it before. She's like, I listened to it for like a minute. I couldn't stand it. I said, did you listen to all of it? She's like, no. I was like, well, that's why. You got to listen to all of it. Because what happens is, what happened to Dwayne Miller was he was at this church. He's a retired pastor, and every church is blessed if they have a retired pastor in the midst. It's a wonderful thing. We have Brother Thorpe at our church. And the pastor came up to him one day and he said, hey, I need a favor from you, and it's going to be difficult. But I would like for you to teach a class on the healing power of God in your position. See, everybody knows that he couldn't speak very well. He struggled. He did everything he could in the ministry with ushering and everything else. You know, he tried to be everywhere at all times because he wanted to help out in the church. But when the pastor saw his dedication, he said, listen, you're someone who struggled with the healing power of God. I want you to be able to explain to them why you are so faithful. I want you to teach a lesson on the power of healing and how God can still heal us today, even though you're in this position, because I think it would make a huge impact on our congregation. So he goes and he says, he doesn't question it. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'd be happy to do it. It's going to be hard, okay? But they have microphones. You can pull him up as close as possible and try and get as much volume as out of him as you can. And he said, I'll do it. So he goes to start the very first message on the healing power of God. And as he's talking, and you hear the rasp in his voice, and it's difficult. And you can hear how hard he is to understand. He gets the words out so you could still hear it audibly. It was tough. And as he's speaking, and he's telling how God of today is still the same God as he was yesterday, and how he was in the Bible when he healed and when he helped those who prayed to him. And God has the power of healing today, even though it's not as easily accepted like it was in the Bible, because we have the Bible, we can read about it. We can see where he did it. He's saying, God's still the same today. If we trust in him, we have faith in him, we may understand why he's not healing all of our problems today, but maybe he's healing us in other areas. He may not be healing me physically, but he's healing me spiritually. He can humble me and help me grow and become a better person for him. And although he has not healed me physically, he still can use me spiritually. He still can use me everywhere else. And as he's talking about the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God, all of a sudden, you hear in the audio his voice changing as he's preaching this message. He's saying, God can still heal today. And you hear the change from the rasping cut audio of a man. And he pauses. And then he quotes the scripture. Quoting the scripture, he's quoting it stronger and stronger and stronger. This is a man who's lost his voice for many, many years. All of a sudden, he's preaching, and as God is directing him to this message, his voice is getting stronger, so much so you could hear his wife weeping in the background. She couldn't believe it. And you could hear him as he's shaking. His voice is starting to get cracked because he's crying. He's like, I don't know what's going on, but I do know that God has a purpose. Now, Dwayne Miller, after this, decided he wasn't going to stop there. He wanted to tell everyone his story. So he started going from churches that were sister churches and friend churches of his church, and he wanted everybody to know that God of today is still the same God as he was yesterday. He still has the same power. He still has the same authority. And he still can bless those who have faith in him. And he still can help us. Our world wants to think that God doesn't exist. One of my most often quoted sayings that when I teach my teens is, the devil's greatest trick was making the world believe he doesn't exist. That was his greatest trick. The world doesn't want to believe that God is real, and because they don't want to believe that God is real, they're going to assume that the devil isn't real. And there's nothing worse for prey than to assume the predator isn't watching. Nothing worse. If you ever watch Animal Planet and you see a prey just sitting there drinking water, you know something bad is about to happen. Every time. That's exactly what the devil's waiting for. He's waiting for you to put your guard down so that he can have false authority over you and make you believe that you have to work on Sundays, make you believe that you have to watch that YouTube video, make you believe you have to play those video games, or make you believe you have to watch this show, or make you believe you have to smoke that cigarette, or make you believe you have to drink that alcohol. He wants you to believe that he has a power and authority over your life, but let me tell you, the devil does not. You have to choose it to put him aside and say no more. If God the authority in your life. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. See, without God, our authority is limited. It's frail. It's a facade, which means it's fake. It's also like a multi-tool. How many have, I didn't bring my multi-tool with me today, but how many of you have a multi-tool? Whether it be Gerber or some of the more expensive ones. Like I have Gerber. I'm cheap. Or cheaper. And my multi-tool is really cool. It has like 20 different doodads on it, right? Between scissors and pliers and knives and can openers or bottle openers and a saw, which I never use, and all these different things on it. But let me tell you something about the multi-tool. If I just set it down, it's useless. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there. The multi-tool cannot move on its own. It has no power in its life but to sit there and be a hunk of metal.